And now, here's your host of Shaping Success, Wes Tankersley.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Shaping Success. It is a Wednesday, back with morning coffee. Robert Watson in the house. The book is out. Remember, go get your copy. R is victorious. Got to kind of get it in the right frame. It's on Amazon. We are going through it. We're getting close to halfway through it, it seems like. We missed one chapter, but we'll bounce back to that one next week because I have a digital copy and then I have the physical copy now. I had the digital copy before, and so I'm a little off kilter because the chapters are a little bit different than the digital copy that I have. But today we're going to hit up on flexible, and it's a really cool chapter. I enjoy it because I think that a lot of people don't realize that there are things that they are in charge of, things that they can control, and it talks a lot about that. So thanks for hanging out in the chat room, Nikki. Robert, what is going on?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I feel like the tiredness is kicking me in the teeth sometimes in the last couple of weeks.
Must be two kids.
Could be last night. Not last night. He slept all night, but the night before it was like, oh, I swear. You get up and it's like he wants me to rock him, and then I rock him, and he's asleep and snoring, and I go to put him back in his crib, and then he's like, nope, more rock. I'm like, oh, I want to go back to sleep.
No, rock's important.
Yeah, it is. Got to take care of him.
Wow. You know, I'm starting to appreciate that. My daughter had called me on a FaceTime to show me my granddaughter, which was my other daughter's daughter. And so it was, she was so cute and so beautiful. And my daughter had both of the children. They were born, I think, 5 months apart, right? Hers and her sister's. Uh-huh. And so that had these two little babies. And I just remember all that process of, you know, don't put me down. You know, hold on to me, do rock, do this, do that, right?
Yeah.
They're cute. It's wonderful times.
Yeah, they're cute at first. And then when they start doing it multiple times, then you're kind of like, all right, this is getting old.
It's true.
Yep. Well, the chapter is flexible. And what I like about it quite a bit, you know, is because on Shaping Success, on the podcast, one of the things that we talk about a lot and a lot of the guests have talked about is, you know, kind of controlling what you can control. So tell us a little bit about the chapter and where we're at in the book at this point.
Yeah, one of the things that prompted it really was, yes, the issue of control in what's called your 3-foot world, which is what you actually physically control. You can reach out with your arms and do something about. But it came from an entire meme that was running on TikTok, and it says, the meme was no plan B, right? I didn't have a plan B, and I thought to myself, really, do you really want to fly in a plane with a pilot that has no plan B? Really? You want to jump out of a plane with no plan B? I can go through the laundry list of things that you would go, you don't have a plan B, really?
Yep.
You don't have an out. And I mean, I understand their concept of not having an out, but that's not life. Life is you have outs. What they're trying to say is you close your mind off to failure. That's right. Very different from no plan B, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't control the parachute. I may have packed it, but I don't control the laws of physics. And if it just so happens it comes out bad this time, then I better have a plan B. Part of not failing, right, is having a plan B.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that people don't grasp. They're like, well, that means your plan A. A psychologist wrote a great book, and she was talking about plan A's and plan B. And she said, I am so grateful for my plan B because my plan B wrote this book. Okay. Yeah. This was her second choice of careers, right? And you know, being around sports long enough, how many guys' careers ended because of an injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to have a plan B. They had to have something else. And a lot of guys didn't have a something else. I mean, it's very rare. I told people all the time, what is the number one skill in the NFL? And they would go through a litany of skills. And I said, no, availability is the number one skill.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care how good you are. If you're not on the roster that week because you've got a hamstring pull or whatever, what good are you to your team? And you're the number one receiver, but you're not on the roster.
It's crazy. I was talking, I wasn't talking, I was actually scrolling through TikTok this morning, and a friend of ours, Lindsay on TikTok, she posts some motivating things a lot of times, and she was talking about her son who is 5 or 6 years old and played baseball since he was, you know, she said he was 6 months old and he was crawling to the tee to go hit the ball off, you know, off the tee. And she said, you know, he's played first base and second base his whole career. And this year he's on a team that's a little bit more skilled, and they asked him to play outfield, and he had to figure out how to play outfield because he's never played it before. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, there's so many of these kids these days that get pigeonholed into one position. And what he just did for himself was became versatile. He became he gave himself another way to get into the game by doing that. And if something goes wrong with the first baseman or the second baseman, guess where he can go? And he gets the opportunity just by being flexible and learning how to do all that and making himself invaluable to everyone. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that is very much when we talk about one of the things I haven't emphasized enough on these talks is I operate in a system called SAFE, which is strategy, ability, and fearless execution, right? You have to have a strategy. You have to have the ability to do whatever you're doing, and you have to fearlessly execute whatever your plan is. I mean, you can't accept failure. You just keep marching on. And the acronym of SAFE is really odd because basically that is what has saved my life multiple times is running that model. And it's very, very difficult for a lot of times for people because they don't know that they don't have the ability and they try to reach out and control things that they're not capable of controlling. Like you always love the person who's second in line at the traffic light, right?
Yeah.
And he's trying to drive the car in front of him.
Yep.
You know, you need to go. You need to, you know, try to drive the car in front of
him.
Right, right. Doing all that stuff. And that's not going to get you anywhere in life. And that's the same thing is control what you can control. And also, I was talking to a friend. I know that sounds weird. I was talking to a friend this morning before I got it. I know, odd. But basically, I was telling her in simple terms, I said, you need to stay in the now. Okay? You can't change the past, and you can't manipulate the future, surprisingly enough. But you can be in the now. Stay in the now. Right? This is where you're at. Don't project. Okay? Because that's your expectation. Stay in the now. And the story in the book is about a guy who's climbing on a ledge, and he's a SEAL, and he freezes. He's caught on a ledge, and he freezes. You know, he looks down, whatever. It causes him to freeze, and his instructor comes up to him and says, control what you can control. Stay in your three-foot world. The next handhold, the next foothold is all that matters.
Right.
Right? Not can you make it to the top. None of that matters. The next handhold matters. And that's a lot of what we need to do. And I was telling her this in relation to love and everything else. And I said, love people in the right now. Don't worry about what that looks like 6 weeks from now. Worry about what it looks like right now. That's what you can control. And that's, you know, it's like, well, what if you can what if yourself to death?
Right. You can freeze yourself by thinking over and over again. It's funny how these Navy SEALs are the ones who always like bring this to the forefront. I feel like there's something in their training that tells them the same thing over and over again because it can't fail. But Chad Wright, who is a former Navy SEAL as well, I've listened to him talk to Lewis Howes, and he was talking about running these 100-mile ultra marathons and just like, hey, it's 100 miles. You got to get there, but you can only get there like one step at a time. And he looks at like a tree in front of him. I'm going to get to that tree. And if I can get to that tree, then I'm going to find another point. And I'm going to get to that point. And I'm just going to continue to get to that point. And once I put all those little points together, guess what happens? There's the 100 miles.
And I've been nursing a bad hip for, last 3 or 4 months. So when I go out in the morning, I don't pound very hard early on because that's a lot of abuse on the hip. So what I do is I go kind of slow. And what I'm trying to do, and it comes laborious. When you're slow, you don't have any good flow. And so what it is the next tenth of a mile, the next tenth of a mile, the next turn, Okay, get to this point, come back to this point. And, you know, my point is, when you run every day for 9+ years, you have to run through injuries, which means you have to nurse your body along. You can't force it. You know, you've got to be gentle with yourself. You know, one of the things people are not is patient with themselves. Okay. When you're projecting into the future saying, here's what I'm trying to control. I'm trying to control next Tuesday.
Yep.
And I'm going, how does that work? You got to explain to me what's good. Now you can prepare for next Tuesday, but you can't control next Tuesday. You really can't. All you can do is prepare. That's back to the safe model. Have a strategy. Do you have the ability? And then fearlessly execute and believe in yourself. Okay, that's what that SEAL's problem was at that point, was he didn't believe in himself.
Right.
And all that the instructor said was, okay, get all that, you know, here's what I used to be, get all that out of your head. The next handhold. Just do that.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, because you can stop right here and you can think about the whole mountain and how you're going to get up
there. Right,
and what's going to happen. And now you're really going to scare yourself. Or you can take one handhold at a time.
One handhold at a time. Right. And the challenge that everybody's trying to do in this is try to make sure that you have some kind of plan B for the inevitable failures in life. Okay. Not quitting. Let's separate those, right? We're not quitting, we're just failing. And it's okay.
I think a lot about, like, you know, it's funny how everyone knows that, you know, that watches this, that how my brain kind of works. Like every single thing that people are talking about, when I'm talking to you, when I'm doing an interview, when I'm talking to anyone, it's like, how does that relate to me? How does that relate to me? How does that relate to me? And you think about it, it's like you're driving down the road. And this happened the other day. I'm driving down the highway and I'm talking to my friend on the phone and he's in front of me, but he's, you know, a few cars ahead of me. He can see what's going on. And the guy in front of me immediately, or not immediately, but like just all of a sudden slams on his brakes because the person in front of him slammed on his brakes and there's like a chain reaction. And that guy's got smoke rolling out of his tires. And I'm trying to think of how I'm going to react. And what do? I pull off to the side of the side because there's enough room, like reacted quick enough. That was my plan B. Plan A was going straight. What are we going to do? If I keep going straight, I'm going to hit the car and you get off the side of the road. It's like being prepared for anything that can happen and knowing that just because you have this laser focus on what's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. You can't react to the outside stuff, but you can figure out a way to, you know, move yourself out of the way.
Right. And there has to be some kind of like general faith in your own abilities or kind of faith in the universe that says it'll be okay. Whatever the outcome is, will be okay. But let's not focus on the outcome. Let's focus on the journey.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all kind of trite. We hear them over and over again. But the truth of the matter is, you can't run 100 miles without running the first step.
Yep.
You know, and there's something to it. These guys, especially the SEALs, were so used to 24-hour days, right? Especially in like Hell Week. All it was to do is to get through the next task. Can't worry about how you're going to get through the next 5 days.
Right.
You got to get through the next task. That's it. That's simple. And like you said, you got to have some kind of version in your head of what plan B is. What's my alternative? Like you said, what's my alternative to going straight?
Yep.
Right.
It's crazy too. Like another thing that I picked up from this as well is I started to think about like how you have to prioritize things as well. Right. I have someone who I've been working with and how they're talking about how overwhelmed they are. And if you look at the whole, like, so look at your inbox, right? So say you're dealing with a bunch of different customers who have all these questions and you got like 20 or 30 of them and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I've got this big old workload in front of me. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. And look at right what's directly in front of you. You know, like that's kind of one of the things that I've learned to do is like, someone just texted me, right? Like, hey, I need this. And then I have this inbox full of other stuff. And this is an easy, quick answer. Check one box, you know, check it off. Do the one thing, put it in order, you know, go through. And that's why I like people who have a cluttered inbox drive me crazy Because I go through mine, like my workload is in my email on my phone or on my iPad or wherever I'm looking at it. And I'll just go through and check one thing off. Like if it's in the inbox, that means it's not done. If I can get it into a folder, it's done. And then that inbox doesn't look so overwhelming because it doesn't have 1,000 emails in it. It's got 10, you know?
Yep.
And the less that's in there, the more, the less I have to do. So I just, you got to prioritize and check it off and make sure you can take care of what you can right there and right then and there, and then work your way through it.
I told people about the yellow pad theory, right? Is you take out a yellow pad. It's real simple. Write 5 things you need to accomplish before 10 o'clock in the morning to make your day successful. That's all. Write 5 things. So one of my things is run.
Yep.
Do my TikTok. This morning it's do the podcast. Whatever the 5 things are. These are the 5 things that are going to make my day before 10 o'clock. Okay. Before most people even get their first cup of coffee in them.
Yep.
My day is already hit 5 targets. Right. That's monumental, because here's the problem. You're going to get off track some days.
Right.
And so the 5 things may be the only thing you accomplish that day. And that's going to be good enough. But it's going to give you that sense of satisfaction where you're going to start the next day and you're going to do what? You're going to do 5 more things. It's shocking what you can get done, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking up. As you were talking about that, I was thinking about this book called Make Your Bed. I don't know if you've read that before, but like, that's one of the things he talks about too. It's like, get up and like have that priority, and making your bed is one of those things. Like, it's just something that you do that, you know, you do every day, and you can look at that and go, hey, my bed's made, you know, like it's an accomplishment. It's a very easy number one thing to accomplish. Not when your significant other's sleeping in the bed. That's my excuse. Is my wife's always, you know, in bed when I get out of bed, so I can't make bed.
Is that McRaven's book?
It is. William McRaven. Yep.
Yeah. McRaven. Yeah. Again, you know, that's the same thing. Is I get up and I make my bed, and so when I go past my bed, it's neat.
Yeah.
Because despite what people believe, chaos in front of you makes your mind overwhelmed because you've got too many targets. Keep your target small. What I tell people is that yellow pad theory. The only thing on your desk should be 1 yellow pad and a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, why? I said, because it focuses you. You're going to knock out the 5 things in front of you, right? You're not going to do 10 different things. You're going to knock out the 5 things in front of you. And all that is just a way of keeping people organized and focused. And you can be more complex than that. But I like simple.
I'm looking at my desk right now and I'm like, there is a yellow pad on it.
Is there more than a yellow pad?
There's a few more things than a yellow pad. But it's, you know, I mean, it's organized chaos. It's not like crazy, but there's stuff on here. It's like, I don't really need that, but I need that later.
No, I totally get it. And again, I always think in terms of, you know, making life inordinately simple, because it's like trying to stay in the now.
Yep.
Always the same thing. Stay in the now. Because there's so much about, you know, like, for example, if you're saving up things for winter, so to speak, right? You've got a lot of junk around because you might need it one day. I get all that. But that's not the now.
Right.
Okay. The now is what I need to get the task done. You know, get the task done, move on after that. You're fine.
Yeah.
But just, hey, like you said, the next handhold. You want to climb a mountain? It's the next handhold. It's the next foothold. Yeah. And that's a mountain, right?
Yep. I have to ask about your bed, though. I mean, do you still do the old army corners?
I do not. but it is very, very neat. But it is not army corners.
No. Okay. I remember my mom. That was one of her deals. She's like, did you make your bed this morning? Army corners.
Army,
and she wasn't in the army. It's like, she must have been a drill sergeant though for us.
No, we literally had the bunks so tight that you could bounce a quarter on them.
Yeah.
Right. They literally bounced a quarter, and that was a pain in the butt to do every day. You know, the reality was, it was like, I mean, my God, I used to go to 5 o'clock formation And, you know, I've got one of those beards that appear at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's not acceptable. That's 5 o'clock formation. So the drill sergeant would whip out his credit card and run it over my face. And, you know, there I am as either the squad leader or platoon leader that day. And he whips out the credit card, looks at me. I'm like, oh, crap. So up I go to the shave again for the second time that day.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Really?
Talking about the beginning. That can wreak havoc on your face a little bit, too.
Yeah. So I absolutely loved going to the field because I could take the camo, right? And I could paint over my beard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And no one cared because all the camo was on there.
Yeah.
So that was the one perk. One perk. Not many.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they taught you. That's the one thing that's crazy about that is bouncing a quarter off the bed. It was more about an exercise rather than like being able to actually do that, but teaching you that you had to do things just right because if you did not, you know, someone else's life could be in your hands and that's, you know, a lesson learned, right?
Attention to detail, right? That next handhold or foothold has to do what? Hold your weight.
Yep.
It's not just something to grab onto. It's something you know that's going to be able to sustain your weight. That gets a little trickier, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Well, another great story. I always enjoy this because it's so relatable, and I think people need to just kind of, you know, as you're reading through this book, you realize that they're, like, for me personally, like, people who are watching this are like, well, what are you doing? How do you do this? These are the types of things that you need. And it's just amazing that there are so many little things that you can do every single day, but you just have to be aware of what's going on around you and being able to just take it that baby step. So great chapter.
Exactly.
All right, everyone. Well, that is it. We will be back next Wednesday. We're going to be going through Frame of Mind. If you haven't got your copy of the book yet, you should. It's Ars Victorious. It's over on Amazon. Digital, physical copies, all that stuff. Go check it out. And we're getting through it. And I can't wait to see what the next chapter holds.
Look forward to it. Appreciate you, Wes. Have a good day.
Thank you, Robert. We'll talk to you soon. All right, everyone, that is the end of the show. Thanks to our Patreons, Anna Mellon, Nikki Pavlovich, our TikTok subscribers, which we're not on TikTok right now just because it's a little bit difficult. We might have to talk about that and figure that out. Frank, Nikki, Michelle, and Lance, we appreciate you all. Until next time, as we challenge you to find the shape of your success.